AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Great conversation there with Paul Niefer from Clifton Larson Allen. I'm your host, Chip Laurie. Glad that you're with us here this morning. Davis Michelson is standing by, and I'll bet ready to jump into a conversation with Bill Northey, former USDA Undersecretary and the current CEO of the Agribusiness Association of Iowa. Bill, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk with you again.
Hey, Chip, great to be with you. I'm glad to share with you and your listeners.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so big news yesterday for the Agribusiness Association of Iowa and the Iowa Nutrient Research and Education Council. Tell us about that.
It is. So that Iowa Nutrient Research and Education Council, called INREC, course, everything has to have an acronym, right? Is really kind of the arm that we use to measure some of the practices that are going on in Iowa, like how many acres of cover crops are out there, what the farmers are using for nitrogen rates across their fields, and it's expanding into some other things as well. But received a grant from Google for $250,000 to continue our work. INREC is made up of Agribusiness Association, but Iowa Corn, Iowa Pork, Iowa Farm Bureau, just a really good crew of folks that are come together to help make sure that we're doing a measuring part of what's happening. Yeah. And now we're also looking at some nitrogen rate studies that would help us understand how to improve nitrogen management for Iowa farmers.
Gotcha. Bill, this is something that has been way, way, way up your priority list for many, many years, going back to even before you were Secretary of Ag here in Iowa. How are we doing? How are Iowa farmers doing in this effort to reduce runoff?
You know, a lot of work going on, good stuff. In fact, if you look at the phosphorus numbers from what the original goal was, we're seeing a significant reduction in the phosphorus that farmers see leaving their fields. As you look at all the conservation practices that are out there, the change from 30 years ago is tremendous. Yeah. We still struggle with the nitrogen numbers, and that's why we're looking at better nitrogen rates, many of the on-farm practices. We've seen cover crops grow in Iowa, so the nutrient reduction strategy started just not quite 10 years ago in Iowa. And at that time, we had, maybe less than 20,000 acres of cover crops in Iowa. Now we're around 3 million acres of cover crops, still a lot of acres that we'd like to see it grow into, be used on more of those acres out there, but tremendous growth over that period of time. So a lot of activity, both in field, like cover crops or nitrogen rates or split nitrogen applications, but also edge of field in nutrient reduction wetlands. Yes. And bioreactors, saturated buffers.
Yeah. Yeah, the CREP wetlands that are out there, yes. Bill, what a fabulous way of reducing runoff.
Isn't it, though? So for those that are not familiar, CREP wetlands, you take a tile line, and sometimes that tile line will have nitrogen levels in it a little higher than what streams are, and you can run it through a CREP wetland, a nutrient reduction wetland, and coming out of that wetland, you'll see often more than a 50% reduction, sometimes 70% reduction in the amount of nitrogen that then goes into a drainage ditch or a river or other kinds of things. So great practice.
Yep. Yep. I was actually at one just the other day, Bill. You're going to love hearing this. It had 100%. It went from 20 parts per million to zero coming out the other end.
Super. Super.
Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. It works. Yes. It works. We need to see more of it. Okay. U.S. Department of Agriculture welcomed the Inflation Reduction Act. It's got $19.5 billion in conservation funding. One of the climate initiatives in the IRA, USDA estimates 89 million acres of cropland exceed the nitrogen loss threshold. It's raised the eyebrows of many producers out there. It talks about producers working with the NRCS staff to develop a nutrient management plan. Number one, aren't producers already working with NRCS on nutrient management plans?
They are. They're obviously working as well with a retailer and anybody else that is providing nitrogen. So there is a lot of work going on. Nitrogen is a challenging nutrient to manage because in some years you have more nitrogen mineralization off your organic matter than other years. And so that's one of the reasons we're looking at a nitrogen initiative here to understand how to better model that and help producers make better decisions. But I think an awful lot of folks are trying to get the right number. In fact, when nitrogen gets expensive as it was this year, definitely nobody's trying to put on more than they need. They're just trying to use the bare minimum.
Exactly. The concern that I'm picking up is that this might suggest that there's going to be mandates on usage levels. Do you think that's a risk?
I guess any regulatory kind of scheme is probably a risk, but I would think that it's a small risk because, you know, one of the things I learned at USDA and in putting out some programs, we did some trade relief and coronavirus relief, other kinds of things. Ideas are easy. Implementation is tough. So how would you implement that? How would you say what the rate should be everywhere? Frankly, in some years, if I've got a 5% organic matter soil, it may release 250 pounds of nitrogen to grow that crop. And I don't need a lot more than that to be able to grow the crop. But some years it releases less than 100 pounds. Right. And so what's that regulated rate? And do they look at all the things? And then what's the penalty for it? How do you carry it out?
Right.
Just think it'd be really tough. Besides, it'd be inefficient thing for the government to try and manage when the farmer wants the same thing, not use any more than you need, and they want to grow a good crop.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Can we talk about the meeting that you had yesterday with some of the EPA leaders?
You bet. Glad to. We had folks from the pesticide area of EPA that were out here that both political and career employees there, as well as Rod Snyder, who's the ag advisor to the administrator. They were all out of headquarters. And then a couple of folks from the Region 7 office, which is the office that works with Iowa here. And so we went out to an ag retail site, a New Century Co-op up at Melbourne, Iowa. Great site. We had folks that walked through that site to be able to show them modern day precision agriculture, the investment that it takes for a retail site to be able to contain pesticides, to manage pesticides the right way, to help farmers control weeds out there. And it was a good session. Several different topics came up. Certainly one of those is atrazine.
Yeah.
And the concern about the proposed levels of reduction, what's called the level of concern that EPA would share. And that's how much atrazine could appear in water. And their model would say a lot more than what the ag folks think is going to appear. But they have reduced that level from what it's been in the past. in a way that would require probably a lower limit in the amount of atrazine that could be used, and certainly a more complexity in the way that you show your compliance, a list of some conservation practices that you'd have to share, that if you're going to use a certain amount, you have to share what conservation practice you're doing, that therefore would allow you to use as much as maybe, generally not as much as what we've been able to use in the past.
So one way or another, they're going to reduce the amount of atrazine that we're using, even though it's been the most tested and proven one of the safest herbicides that we can use.
Yeah, I really can't imagine that the end would not be a reduction. And as you say, it actually is used in so many products at yes, often very low levels. So I think there's over 90 different products that have a little bit of atrazine in them that make the product work better, that adds more weeds to the control list of that product.
Yep.
We have very few producers that are applying only atrazine at a full rate. They typically are using it with other products and making those products better. And if we were to lose that, I've talked to some of our retailers that said if we were to lose that, we would see more tillage going on because that's what's remaining to be able to control some weeds.
Absolutely.
EPA assures us that's not what they're after. They're not after more tillage. But certainly farmers need choices. And if some of the choices are taken off the table, that's a real worry to our farmers and our retailers.
Bill, do they understand that could be an unintended consequence of their actions?
I think they do. I think they're hearing it. And we're in a comment period right now, so it's certainly available for folks to comment on until October 7th.
Absolutely. Get the comments done. Bill, it was great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Chip. Thank you.
You bet. Bill Northey, CEO, Agribusiness Association of Iowa.